everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Presenting Pixie Dust. I am your host, Elizabeth Carr, and with me today is the wonderful, gorgeous, amazing Brett Harvey.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks so much for tuning back into the show this week. We are up to episode 16 today.
Wow.
Oh, 16 episodes.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Good. Like, good?
Yeah. Sorry good. To interrupt your introduction.
Yeah, you broke my flow. Now I don't know where
continue.
I am. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Today we are talking about the 2019 live action release of Dumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our first live action remake that we're talking about from all the movies that we have.
Really?
Isn't it?
I think so.
I think it is. We've done live action movies, but
we've
no
talked.
Remakes.
You and I have talked a lot about live action movies lately because there's been a few, and there's a few coming up.
Yes, there are. Oh, of course, because we talked about the live action Mulan recently. I'm so excited for that one because I think that one's going to be really good.
And you and I went to see Lion King, the live action.
Mm-hmm, we saw Aladdin,
quote unquote live action. Yeah, you know,
differently animated Lion King, and we saw Aladdin.
Yeah.
We saw Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, all those ones. But today we're talking about Dumbo.
Okay.
And prior to us watching this last night, I hadn't seen this movie.
Yeah.
I think that I tried to watch it when it came out in the cinemas, but it just wasn't anywhere. Like, when it came out, I was looking for it because I really wanted to see it, and there was just no showings of it.
Mm.
None around us anyway.
Look, I think for me, it was...
You were not interested.
Oh, no, not really. Not when it came out in the movies. I just think, nah, it didn't appeal to me. I just felt like it was a kid's story.
Okay.
And so as we will explore today, the changing of my mind about that one.
Oh, well, I'm glad your mind has changed. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Fantastic. This movie premiered on March 11th, 2019 at the Ray Dolby Ballroom in Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
The runtime of this film is 116 minutes, so almost 2 hours. It has a 6.3 on IMDb and 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
46%?
Yeah, it's not rated too highly.
Oh my God, that's like in the trash can.
Yeah, it is not certified fresh.
Wow, so what happened?
Well, look, I think that we'll get into why I think that it's got that.
You've got some opinions
on this. I've always got opinions. That's why I have the microphone, because I always have opinions. All right, fun facts?
Yeah.
Awesome. Fun fact number one, Dumbo grossed $114.8 million in the United States and Canada at the box office and $238.5 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $353.3 million.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad, but just hang on, my facts are not finished yet.
Okay.
It was estimated that the film would have to gross more than $500 million worldwide in order to break even.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And with a combined production and advertising budget of $300 million, it is reported that it ultimately lost money. So just for some context, this film is the lowest grossing Disney live action remake, with the releases of Aladdin and The Lion King grossing over $1 billion at the box office each.
Wow.
So this movie really did not do well. And I think it's because no one knew it was on. I couldn't find it at any of the cinemas.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it live and I couldn't.
Really?
Yeah, couldn't do it.
You know, look, I was thinking about, you said that they didn't do too badly in America and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see why this film would appeal to Americans more than maybe other countries, because it has like a American folktale kind of storyline.
Sure.
And it follows that whole circus era, which was a huge thing in America in its history. So historically, I think it appeals to Americans.
Like,
even though it's kind of a made-up story.
Oh, it's 100%
except for the elephant with big ears. Like, that's true.
100%.
I believe.
Nonfiction. All right, fun fact number two. This film was filmed entirely on a soundstage. Not even the outdoor scenes were exterior shots. And I think that looks like it's been filmed indoors.
Yeah.
There's just something sort of artificial about all of it.
Yep.
Even, like, when you see the sky and stuff, it doesn't look like the sky. It looks like someone's really perfect picture of the sky.
Yeah, I wrote down that it has a real dreamy quality to it.
Yeah.
There's sort of a, the colours are sort of washed. I'll think of the word.
Okay, we'll come back to your word. Fun fact number three, the production team created a full-scale version of the Train Casey Jr. from Dumbo, the 1941 version.
Yeah.
It had to be given wear and tear to reflect the circus's rundown condition, though. So when they made it, it was beautiful, but it didn't look like it had been going around on the tracks for decades. So they had to give it some wear and tear.
I love that train.
I know you love a train.
I love a good train.
You really do love a train, and this is a great train. I think the train's the best part.
And, yeah, the front of the train, did you notice it's got a smiley face on it?
Well, so did Casey Jr. in Dumbo. Yeah, that train had the smiley face too.
Yeah, it just kind of brings that. It almost becomes a character of itself.
Definitely.
Even though it's only in the movie for 30 seconds.
It was a great 30 seconds, though.
It was a great 30
seconds. That's where their budget went. All right, fun fact number four. This is Danny DeVito's fourth collaboration with director Tim Burton.
Yeah.
After Batman Returns in 1992.
The Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Mars Attacks in 1996.
Oh, yeah.
And Big Fish in 2003.
Love that movie.
I love Big Fish. I love Batman Returns as
One
well.
One of
That's
my favourite movies.
Batman Returns is my favourite Batman movie.
That is, yeah.
It's brilliant. Yep. It's so good. And
That was a star cast, though.
Yeah.
And they were all wonderful.
And Michael Keaton's in this film as well, and he was
in
Batman Returns.
And I was thinking
as well.
That as we were watching that, I'm like, oh, these guys, you know, they're like just must be hanging out.
Yeah.
Going, hey, what do you want to do next?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm surprised Helen Bonham Carter wasn't in the movie.
Well, you never know. Yeah. She might have been in the
background. Or Johnny Depp, for that matter.
In the previous films, DeVito had played a circus member, and he said that when Burton called him up asking him to be in this film, Burton referred to the project as the completion of the circus trilogy.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Because he was in Big Fish, he was the ringmaster in that.
Mm-hmm. Was he in a circus in... Was Penguin part of a circus in Batman Returns? They've got sort of circus-like characters
they
in
are,
there.
Yeah, very much so. Not quite clowns, because that was more the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it has that kind of...
But he has that umbrella that spins.
Yeah.
The very trickster
sort of
He's
got a few tricks
stuff.
Up his sleeve, yeah.
And I haven't seen Mars Attacks, so I can't comment on whether he's... Have you seen Mars Attacks?
Oh, I have a few times.
Is he in
that
a
came
circus?
Out in like 1996. yeah. That was a great movie at the time.
Was he in a circus in that one?
I don't think so.
I don't know. All right, fun fact number five. The font used for the Dreamland entrance sign is also the font used for all of the Tomorrowlands throughout the various Disney parks.
Yeah.
Did that look familiar, that sign?
Well, I had written down some notes that it very much reminded me of Disney World's Tomorrowland.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Very
so you
much.
Spotted it?
Yeah, for sure, especially the part where they go and the young kids look at the animatronics in a little kind of setup, you know. Oh, what would you call that? A diorama setup.
Yep.
It's almost life-size diorama setup of a kitchen with some animatronic people in there. And, yeah, very much reminded me of Disney World.
That is classic Disney. Number six, Colleen Atwood, who was the costume designer on Dumbo, designed physical clothing for Dumbo and Mrs. Jumbo using life-size styrofoam models, despite the fact that both elephants are CGI creations. So not only did it help Burton visualize the characters, but the visual effects team scanned the clothing to have a better visual reference for the scale of the elephants.
Yeah.
So during the movie, Mrs. Jumbo and Dumbo do wear articles of clothing at certain times. So those were really made and put on the styrofoam models.
There you go.
So you could actually see how big these animals were going to
be.
Fun fact number seven, a good number of the supporting cast is made up of actual circus performers. Prior to filming, performers from around the world put on a mini show for Tim Burton, and production made casting decisions based on that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting, because in the context of the story, the troupe of performers go to this dreamland and find themselves out of a job because they don't quite fit the perfection that the Dreamland is going for.
I'm not sure if it's those performers. I think they might be talking about like the Dreamland performers,
oh,
those
really?
Ones
okay.
that are really good.
Yeah, yeah, the dancers and everything.
Yeah, as opposed to the Medici Brothers Circus where they're all kind of charlatans. They're fake freaks.
Fake freaks,
yeah. So I think that's probably what they're referring to there.
Yeah.
And fun fact number eight, in the film Millie and Joe, the two children who take care of Dumbo, have a little mouse, which is a nod to Timothy Q Mouse in the animated movie. Because obviously the mouse is a really important character in Dumbo, and he doesn't appear in this at all, which is one of the qualms that I have with this movie. But we're going to get onto my issues with this in a minute. there's a little nod to him there. He's wearing the little sort of circus ringmaster outfit and everything like Timothy does in the animated movie.
Very cool.
And those are my fun facts.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty, so let's chat about this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so they set the scene with it being 1919. That's the year. So we're just post-World War I, which is quite important to the main character of Holt, because he is coming back from the war when this movie starts.
Yep.
We've got the circus leaving Florida. It's labelled with the Medici Brothers logo. There's storks flying overhead, which is quite nice and reminiscent of the animated movie and how that starts. And we go to a train station to see lots of people coming home.
I think it's funny because for such a long movie, I know that
it was really long.
It was a long movie, and that's 2 hours. One of your criticisms. Yeah. But for such a long movie, they worked really hard to try and establish that time and place very quickly.
Sure.
And it's like, of all the things that they did really quickly, that was the thing that they did really quickly. Like,
yeah.
They had a whole movie for us to work that out. But anyway, so what I loved about that, though, it had this music. It was exciting. It had a real frontier feel, like a fresh, you know, high-spirited, almost like you'd see in the old cowboy western movies.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that frontier music. There's people riding on horses or something like that, and they're going places. They're going to go
sense of
do
urgency.
Something or see something, you know, and it's,
a sense of urgency.
Dun, 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 dun. No, it's the VB ad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
but
not
it's kind of
was.
Like that. It's the same kind of thing, yeah. But it had, and you're right about that, the animation. It had a very opaque kind of colours and
it looks
and
like
a dreamy feel to it.
It looked like it had a filter over the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think
all the colours were kind of a bit muted in certain parts and really overdone in others. It's a very stylistic choice. It's very Tim Burton.
Yeah, but I think with that, based on that first minute or so of all of that, I was starting to think, hang on, is this completely CGI? Is this like a Lion King thing?
And
you see this boy running away from the camera at one point, and I'm looking at it going, did they CGI that as well? Like, is this a whole CGI thing? Or is it actual people? And it took me a little bit to work that out because...
Was it when Colin Farrell came on the screen that you went, oh, yeah. He's a real guy?
Yeah, he's a real guy.
Yeah. He only has one arm, but he's a real guy.
Yeah.
So Colin Farrell's returning from the war back to his kids, who are Millie and Joe. Millie's the older girl. Joe is the younger boy. And he's come home and he's...
He reunites with his kids.
Yeah. And the first thought that you have is, where's their mum? Which they quickly establish is that she's dead. There was influenza that took out half the people in the circus.
Yeah.
You know, sense of foreboding, I suppose, 2020. But influenza that's taken out half the people, which I suppose would be the Spanish flu at that time.
Yeah.
In 1919.
Yep.
Yeah, so probably that. So she's mum's gone too.
And we very quickly see that Dad is missing an arm.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of don't...
They give no explanation.
They don't know what to say, and they don't even explain it.
Yeah. Throughout the whole movie, it's not explained as to what happened to his arm, only that his arm's gone.
Yeah.
And the kids didn't know that his arm was gone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They just see that for the first time.
But what I thought was really important there was that, you know, this soldier's come back from the war, he's fought his fight, and even though he's missing an arm, he still says, I'm still me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important.
Especially when someone's physical appearance changes so drastically.
Yeah. And the other thing too is this guy was previously a horse rider.
Yeah.
You find out in the circus. And of course, without missing an arm, it's going to make his job of going back to work very difficult.
He was like a cowboy, so that was his job in the circus. He would lasso things and ride around on the horses, but the horses have been sold, so there's no horses for him to ride anyway because the circus is going broke.
But really importantly to the movie, you know, because I'm looking at this intro going, oh, am I going to be able to sit through this, you know, this sort of complete CGI stuff or whatever. And then onto the screen we have Colin Farrell and Danny DeVito. And as soon as I saw them, I'm like, we're in good hands.
There's something about Danny DeVito that is so comforting to me. Like, when he comes on the screen, it's like, okay, we're fine. This is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because he's just such a, I don't know, such a recognisable figure. And so such a respected performer that any time that you see him, he's just magic. He's magic on screen.
Yeah.
He's just brilliant. I love him.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, I'm a Danny DeVito stan.
And so they send Colin Farrell, Captain Holt, to work with the elephants. that's the only job they've got for him. And by the sound of it, the elephants is the job that no one wants to do.
Well, how do you look after the elephants? You just have to pick up after them, and pick no one wants poo. To do that.
No, not really.
That's gross.
Yeah, but young Millie, she establishes herself as being a bit of a thinker in this story, and she says that she wants to be a scientist known for her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's, you know, there's a few things. Obviously, that comment from Holt about "I'm still me" is kind of a real, you know, statement about veterans, mm-hmm. war veterans, and this Millie statement about wanting to be known for her mind rather than just being pretty or something.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Mulan, which we talked about in the other episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a statement, you know, it's a statement, a modern statement to young girls out there.
Definitely.
To sort of say that you can be more than just a pretty face.
But that wouldn't have been the case in 1919.
No.
She wants to do this, but this was not the normal path that she would have taken. And they want her to perform in the circus, but she won't do it. She doesn't want to be on stage.
No.
So
doesn't want to be like a mum and dad, is what she said. Doesn't want to be like in the spotlight, which was interesting. Yeah.
So once we establish these characters, we get to the actual Dumbo-ness of this movie. Now, the entire classic Dumbo storyline, the storyline that we have tuned into this movie to watch,
yeah,
goes for about the first 25 minutes of this film, and then that's it. It's an entirely different story after that, completely different. That is one of the issues that I have with this, because there's parts that you look forward to seeing, and admittedly, the actual Dumbo storyline parts are very cute. Like, we see Dumbo fly, and, you know, he still has his feather. He needs his feather to fly. So he learns to fly by sort of inhaling this feather up his nose, and then he sneezes and he flaps around. And it's very, very cute. And Dumbo is gorgeous. Like, they say that he's a monster. They call, oh, look at this monster. I don't know how they're not looking at this gorgeous, gorgeous little elephant with these goofy with his big ears. Head. This big head, these big ears, these blue eyes, and calling him anything other than gorgeous. But anyway, regardless.
And, you know, if you know anything about elephants, I've never met an elephant with blue eyes.
No.
Asian elephants, I don't think they have blue eyes.
No, I wouldn't think so.
It would be extremely rare. And I think, you know, people get a bit goo-goo gaga over babies that have special coloured eyes. I reckon you'd be in love with this little elephant pretty quickly.
He's very cute. They do a very good job of making him expressive in his face. Yeah. So you like him and you are immediately sort of on his side. Whereas I think that's the difference between this movie and the live action Lion King, where the live action Lion King was very expressionless.
Mm.
They wanted to make it too realistic, I think, with that film. So the lions don't have facial expressions, really, whereas this elephant, both the elephants, Mrs. Jumbo and Dumbo, both have really expressive faces where you can tell how they're feeling.
Mm.
Whereas I think that was something that was missing in The Lion King.
Yeah, look, I think that with The Lion King, I mean, it's always a balance, isn't it? Because if you're trying to make it look like real animals, but then they're acting like humans and speaking and talking like humans and communicating that way as we humans do with a lot of facial expressions, you got to sort of choose which track you want to go on, you know, realism or something magical.
If you're already making them talk.
Well, like, that's true.
You're already making these. Okay, I know this is not the Lion King episode, but other than that, I have no complaints about the Lion King. I thought it was very good. But if you're going to make them talk, then you can just make their faces do something. Dumbo doesn't talk.
No.
Dumbo doesn't talk in the original animated version either.
No.
So he doesn't talk in this one either. But he's very expressive.
Yeah, and look, I think that, you know, we know elephants do have very human-like qualities to them, you know, even if they can't speak English.
Sure.
Or any other human language.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be languageist.
Languageist.
But, you know, like, there's a real warmth to those two characters, the mother and son.
And that's the heart of this. That was the heart of the original movie as well.
They're getting pulled apart. Like, that's horrible.
It was heartbreaking.
Absolutely horrible.
Watching that scene where Mrs. Jumbo sort of loses her mind because everyone's laughing at Dumbo, and there's a bad guy as well who gets killed in the whole ruckus of Mrs. Jumbo and the other elephants getting angry and ripping the tent down. It's heartbreaking then to see them pull the baby away from her.
Yeah.
Because that's all that she wants, is to protect him. And then we have Baby Mine as well, which is the classic. It's the only song from Dumbo that we actually hear. Every other song from the animated version we don't hear.
Yes,
but Baby Mine we do, and it's played beautifully on the ukulele by Sharon Rooney, who's a fantastic actress. And it's great, but it just felt really rushed. I just feel like that whole thing, the whole start of this storyline felt so rushed. And we're only 20 minutes into the movie and we're already hearing Baby Mine, which normally in the animated version comes much, much later, nearly towards the end. That's where we get to the emotional climax of the film, and that doesn't happen here. It's just it's rushed through. And as much as it still did make me cry because it's devastating and that song just makes me cry, It was too early. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready.
With the length of the movie, we've watched other movies. I think we did Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how it was like one movie and then they added an extra 30 minutes on the end. It was an extra battle, an extra storyline. And this one was like they had done the small story in the start and they added a whole new story on the end of it.
This was one movie and then they added an hour and a half onto the end of it instead of half an hour. This was two completely separate stories, I thought.
Yeah.
And
they called Dumbo an aberration and travestation, which I thought was great alliteration. And a face that only a mother could love.
But he's beautiful.
And you're like, come on, who are these people?
Who are these monsters? They're the real monsters.
Who hurt your heart? You know, come on.
It's devastating. I did really like the scene with the fire tower and the clowns, which was reminiscent of the original scene in
Dumbo. That was so good.
That was really well done.
Like, I was getting a bit of palpitations going on.
Yeah, there was
come on.
Come on,
it looked like he was really going to get burned.
I thought he was. He was going to be shished an elephant.
Yeah.
It was horrible, but, you know.
And it worked out.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
So we get to the end of the original Dumbo story, and then we have this new character enter, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Vanderbeer,
because they said Vanderbeer at the end.
Oh. Well, one of us is right. Doesn't matter. Either way, Michael Keaton, who's like this white-haired mogul of circuses.
And he's another one that you know that when he's in a story, when he's in a film, it's going to be a good film.
I didn't dislike this next hour and a half. I just felt that it wasn't Dumbo. And so, you know, basically, just to give you the real Cliff's Notes version of it, we go to this other circus, this huge big circus, Dreamland, which is like a theme park, basically. And Vanderbeer owns it and he wants to... What are you laughing at?
We were both wrong.
Oh, were we? What is it?
I'm sure a guy in this says Vanderbeer at the end.
I'm sure it was Vanderbeer.
It says, according to Google, it says Vandermeer.
Vandermeer? There's no way it was Vandermeer.
Well, unless they're wrong.
I don't know.
Does anybody out there know? Help!
I'm sure it was. Anyway, regardless, we're at Dreamland. It's kind of like a Disneyland Luna Park sort of situation. Almost like it's not even that. It's almost like a Coney Island.
Yeah.
Really old school theme park sort of thing. And there's this gorgeous trapeze artist who's automatically like the love interest for Colin Farrell, even though his wife has just died. And he didn't even know that she died, really, when he got there. Like, she's just died in the last 12 months. You know, there's a whole love interest scene and they want to make her fly on the back of Dumbo. That's going to be the big selling point.
Which, you know, like, I was like, a flying elephant isn't enough for you
in
people.
In 1919, you don't even have enough for Netflix. You people?
Come on.
You don't even have streaming services.
But you've
got
to have a person flying on the back of it.
Yeah. I did like the sequence in Dreamland, the pink elephant sequence, because that's such an iconic animation sequence from the original, and that's really cool in the original. I was really kind of freaked out and scared by that when I was a kid, but this was done really well. So Dumbo doesn't get drunk like he does in the original. He sort of, he just watches these bubble artists, these, you know, performers with these big hoops that are creating bubbles, make these pink elephants and they sort of dance around and stuff. And you hear the pink elephants music. It's not sung, but you hear like the underscore of pink elephants, which is quite cool. I liked that.
Yeah.
And we find out very quickly that Dumbo's mother, Mrs. Jumbo, is in Dreamland. He hears her because she hears him sort of screaming and she trumpets back and they work out that they're both there. So after she'd moved from the circus, after they removed her, she'd been sold to Did we decide what his name is?
You know what? On this one, it says Vanderveer.
Thank you. I knew.
So
I'm saying Van Der Veer.
This is according to Wikipedia.
I'm sticking with Van Der Veer. They don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know if anyone knows.
No, no one really knows.
Van Der Bum, I said. He's a bit of a douchebag.
He is. He's such a douchebag. He's sort of very like P.T. Barnum, but horrible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Well, that's I kind of wonder whether that's what they went for.
Yeah, so he's sort of like that sort of character.
Yeah, if you want to look at an interesting story, look at Barnum. That's a crazy story. Maybe they'll make... Did they make a movie about Barnum?
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, but that wasn't so much about Barnum, though.
It was exactly about Barnum.
Yeah. Well, not... Okay, it was about Barnum, to be fair. It was about Barnum, but it didn't really say what a...
Bad person.
Bad person. Oh, I was looking for a word, that this is G-rated, this
well,
show,
you know,
so...
it can be whatever word it's
think
about.
I don't think there's any G-rated word that could capture how bad Barnum was.
Yep. So but Hugh anyway. Jackman did not play him true to character.
Hugh Jackman was amazing.
Yeah.
He just wasn't... It wasn't the whole story.
No, it never is it? So then the story then becomes about them trying to reunite Dumbo and Mrs. Jumbo.
Yeah.
Which is really, again, the heart of the story. And they use all the special capabilities of the fake freaks who have been lying this whole time.
Yeah.
But some of them have actual skills.
Yeah.
These
like the flexible guy.
Yeah, like the bendy, the contortionist, and the strong man and everything. And so, you know, eventually they, you know, get them all reunited and there's a happy ending and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think they take Jumbo and they make him into a evil character on this island. This what was it called? Nightmare Island or something?
Yeah, I think so. That's that particular section of Dreamland.
Yeah, yep. And so they've made this absolutely beautiful elephant look like a nightmare.
Yeah, so they've painted her in like war paint and stuff, so she looks really mean and nasty.
So look, I think you know in this movie, in terms of their creating these characters that you love or hate, they do a very good job of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like any time you can take a blank canvas and create a digitally animated character that you have feelings with, you empathize with, that is insanely amazing.
Well, look, I think that there's no disputing the fact that the CGI in this movie is spectacular.
Yeah.
The elephants are stunning. It's hard to believe to watch this movie and believe that the elephants are not real.
I kept looking for spots where there was only one spot where Dumbo was flying. The first time he flew with the lady on his back and it didn't work out so well. But they were flying around the inside of a tent and it didn't look right. But that wasn't Dumbo himself. That was both of them together. It just didn't look right.
Okay.
Yeah, but the rest of the movie, the elephants just looked amazing. Yeah.
But you pointed out last night that the elephants was not the most spectacular piece
of
CGI.
Wasn't. No.
Explain.
Holt's missing arm was the most amazing thing in the film.
You know what? I kept trying to look for where on earth they had put Colin Farrell's arm and I couldn't find it. It was amazing. Because normally you'd think it'd be like strapped to him or in front of him. He was wearing a very sort of slim cut shirt.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, where is his arm? Where did they put it?
Yeah. So I reckon they put a green sock on his hand. But
do you think so?
Yeah, for sure. But
his shirt was rolled up. It was folded up. Yeah. How did he have it?
They still managed to make it look good. And
it was amazing.
Yeah. That was the best part of the CGI. I kept looking to see where this arm was, you know, looking for the fault that they made. You know, maybe someone got a bit lazy with their animation, but it was spot on.
It was incredible.
They would have had a whole team devoted to just blending that arm in.
Yeah, that was one person's
job.
Well done, Disney.
I take my hat off to you.
Well done to the CGI animators at Disney Animation.
You know, going back to the quality of the animation, and like I said, the creating those three-dimensional lifelike elephant characters that you empathize with. You know, like maybe people don't make enough comparisons, but people look at fine art like, you know, Picasso, Degas, and all those wonderful classical painters. And they love that art because it moves them.
Mm-hmm. I love Degas. I love those.
You know, you look at those pictures and you just go, oh, you know, and it's communicating. It's a slightly different art form, but it's the same in many ways. Sure. You're taking a blank canvas and creating something that people, it moves people. And that's what this movie does. I know that you were moved to annoyance at some points, but
there were lots of times where it was very moving and very sort of pull at the heartstrings and stuff. Because Dumbo is such a sympathetic character and because you already know Dumbo so well. And I think that they didn't do anything special with Dumbo's character. He is the same Dumbo that we know, which is really good. And I think that there was just enough classic nostalgic elements in this that you... Like, we knew at the end that Dumbo was going to lose the feather somehow and he was going to have to fly without the feather.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point. And as I was watching this movie, after we passed the first 25 minutes and it became a whole nother story, I was like, well, but he's still got the feather. He's still using the feather. That's the point of Dumbo, is that it's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you always had the power.
Yeah.
And you were just waiting for that moment where he was going to lose the feather. And, of course, he did and he... At the end, and he triumphed over that, and, you know, it's very pull at the heartstrings. And I liked, actually, one thing about this movie that I did like is that the idea of having elephants at a circus is such an outdated idea now, and they, at the end of this movie, they really did put that message across that they weren't going to use any more wild animals in their circus
anymore. In captivity,
because no wild animal should be kept in captivity. So all of the animals that they had were released, except for, I'm not sure about that monkey that was there, but, you know, whatever. So at the end, we do see Dumbo and Mrs. Jumbo walking through the, you know, forests of Asia and reuniting with other elephants, which was quite nice and, you know, it was a nice way to end it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking as I was watching it, the idea of still having elephants in a circus is not an old idea. Like, it hasn't not been a thing for very long. I remember when I was a kid, they would still have elephants at the circus because I remember when the circus would come to wherever it would go to, an oval somewhere, a footy oval somewhere, and they'd set up. There would be elephants and camels and stuff. And as you would drive past, you would look at the elephants outside chained up, waiting for the circus to start. And that was only, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not that long that we haven't done this. That's the last time I remember it. I'm sure that there have still been wild animals in circuses for the last, you know, maybe in the last 10 years, they've really started to get rid of it and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. So I thought that that was it made it up to date. There's no more outdated depictions of things, you know? I thought it was a nice little touch.
Yeah, I agree.
That they didn't have to do.
Yeah, like I think that there's some social commentary there that they don't have to have in, but they've chosen to. There's some good messages there.
Yeah.
We mentioned some earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely that's one about the freedom of animals or the, you know, not wanting to keep them. And it sort of goes back to that point about, you know, what was not amazing about the fact that this elephant could fly, that they'd want to put someone on the back of it to make it better.
Yeah.
And you're like, that, but that's kind of true of people. You see that in the Jurassic World, where they try to make these animals more than, they're amazing as they are. They don't need anything more than that to be amazing, and people need to appreciate animals for what they are and not try to make them things. You know, when you look at things like Siegfried and Roy and their leopards or whatever they have, those big cats, you know, and they're making them jump through tigers, they make them jump through hoops and do all these tricks
to make them
amazing. And that's because humans have this, many humans, not everybody, have this desire to control animals.
Yeah.
That's what it's really all about.
I think that lots of humans also have this ego where they actually think that they're controlling them, but it just proves in these accidents that happen in circuses and zoos and places like, you know, SeaWorld with the orcas and stuff.
Harambe, the gorilla.
Harambe was at a zoo. He wasn't on show. He was
But you know, like they, you know.
It's still an animal.
It's still an animal.
It's still a wild animal. Yeah. You can have it since it's a baby and raise it, and it's still a wild animal. Mm. And wild animals have instincts, and you know that haven't been bred out of them.
Some people might have watched the Tiger King.
Yeah.
Took
her arm off.
Yeah. It took her arm off like nothing.
Yeah.
And the time that it tried to attack him. Yeah.
Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic.
Oh, sorry. I think we've just misgendered the person whose arm got taken off. I think that it was that they identify as a he, so took his arm off.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mistake. Don't come at me for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
His arm. So, yeah, I think that that was a really important message that this film came across. So how many feathers do you give Dumbo, the 2019 live action
version? Many feathers? Oh, look, it was a long movie. I was interested in it for the whole time, though. You had to have a toilet break, I think.
I did.
You know, I had a bit of a stretch. But, look, I thought it was really good. I really did enjoy it. And
I'm waiting for us to watch something one time where you say hated it. Didn't like it. Nah.
Not going
to
happen.
It's terrible.
Oh, there's always something to like about movies. Oh, you know.
Feathers.
Yes.
Tell me.
I'm getting there. It's got to be at least a 7.
Okay.
But I just don't see myself going any higher than that.
That's fair.
Today.
That is fair. Okay.
So 7's good. I know it sounds like the Rotten Tomatoes might have beaten up on it a bit, but I'd give it a good 7. And how many elephant trunks would you give it?
The trunk? I like the trunk.
I don't know.
I think that I would give this movie 6.5 elephant trunks.
Really?
I give the original, like the first 25 minutes of this movie, like at 8.5. But then it just went really long. And I have the opinion, and I stand by this.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot call a movie a live action remake of Dumbo and completely change the story. It is not Dumbo anymore. I had this issue when they did Alice in Wonderland as well, when Disney said, oh, we're doing a live-action Alice in Wonderland and Johnny Depp's going to play the Mad Hatter. And I went to the movies stoked to see this live-action Alice in Wonderland, and I sat there and went, this is not even close to the same story. What is this?
Yeah.
This isn't Alice in Wonderland. You can't call something Dumbo if it's not Dumbo. You know?
Talked about, well, what would you call it then?
Dumbo Continue.
Captain Holt's amazing missing arm.
Missing arm. No, Dumbo Continue. I don't know what I would call it, but it's not Dumbo. And I don't think that the story itself was bad. It wasn't bad, but I felt like they could definitely have cut half an hour out of this movie and it still have had the same effect. It was long. It felt long. It didn't need to be that long.
Yeah.
Because I felt like we just kept watching the same scenes over and over. Is Dumbo going to fly?
Yeah, that was...
Yes, he does. Yep. It was over and over and over.
Yeah.
And
will he fly? Yes, he will.
Will he fly? Maybe not, but yes, he will. And we just watched that over and over and over.
Yeah, before we close out,
okay.
I do want to say there's a terrific part in there for people to get a hold of. They're in this big arena and Dumbo's being put on display and the announcer, who sounds very much like a boxing commentator.
He is a boxing commentator.
He is a boxing commentator. Yeah. He says, let's get ready to Dumbo.
Yeah.
And that was
really cool.
I love that.
Oh, I did like in his, that same actor, I did like in his introduction of Dumbo, he did use some of the lyrics to When I See an Elephant Fly, which is one of my favourite Disney songs. Well, you know, you may have seen a horse fly or even a dragon fly, but I bet you've never seen an elephant fly, like he said, all those things. And again, that's just one of those nice little nostalgic touches, which I suppose if you're not going to give me Dumbo, you can at least put the proper stuff through the movie. But yeah, I would say 6.5. I think that the actors did a good job. I think the CGI was great.
Yeah.
I just think it was long, and I think that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be going in.
Mm.
It felt the actual parts that I wanted to see felt a bit rushed.
Yeah, and there was one part of it actually where, at one stage, Holt, when he's in one of the arenas, he gets noticed by people in the crowd, and he wears a bit of a mustache and tries to not look himself because he doesn't want to get recognised. But I don't think they ever really explored why that was.
No.
I felt like that was a setup for some reveal later on.
That's in the deleted scenes.
That maybe he did something he shouldn't have back in the war.
Yeah.
Maybe he is to blame for something, because that was the inference to that. It was a really strong point. He was trying not to be recognised. And I kept thinking, why? And I wanted that resolved. I wanted to know what it was, and they never did it. They just forgot about it.
You're still giving it 7 feathers?
Oh. Yeah, I'll stick with that.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they'll resolve it in the sequel.
Oh, gosh. Well, the elephants are
Dumbo
in the,
begins.
Elephants are in the Asian rainforests now. Like, I don't know how they're going to get them back. Alrighty, so that brings us to the end of episode 16, Dumbo. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening again. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, that would be fantastic to keep up with all the latest Disney news. Also, you can follow Brett's podcast, Teaching for Dummies, wherever you get your podcasts, if you're a teacher or you're so interested in hearing about education. It's a really, really great one to tune into. Please, if you're on an iPhone, please give us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. That really, really helps people find the show. And we will see you next week. Have a magical week.
Bye.